Logalog Django Big Boat came bounding up the wall steps.
I heard a kitchen helper saying you was trying to make this scum talk. Has he said anything yet?
Granville looked up from his writing.
He says the little uns are all still alive, as far as he knows.
The shrewd chieftain's blade was out in a flash, his point a hair's breadth from the vermin's throat. Django's voice was shaking with rage.
As far as you know, I'm the father of three of those youngsters, so you'll have to do a bit better than thinking you know. If they're alive, your chief must be keeping them hid somewhere.
Django's voice rose with his rage. He drew back the short Gaussian rapier, readying it for a thrust.
I'm right, ain't I? My little uns are being held prisoners. Where? Tell me where, you useless cup of flotsam. Tell me you die!
Gripchen gave a hoarse screech as Django swung the blade. Fortunately, it was knocked to one side, as Buckle had deflected it with a deft flick of his long rapier. The ferret threw himself flat on the walkway, sobbing hysterically.
I keep telling you, I don't know nothing. All I does is carry out Zwilt's orders. I ain't got a clue what Althea is, on me oath I ain't.
Oakheart bounded forward. Heaving the vermin upright, he shook him like a rag, bellowing into his face.
Althea? What do you mean, Althea?
Gripchen rattled on like a babbling brook.
I heard Zwilt saying it and I didn't think nothing of it at the time. Honest, I didn't, sirs. But just now the name came into my mind. Althea, I think that's the name of the place where they keep your littlings.
Oakheart dropped the hapless vermin.
Well, well. What you make of that, friends?
Granville ceased writing. He whispered to Skipper.
Yeah, I believe him, but let's not frighten him into telling lies to save his skin. Leave this to me. Maybe I can persuade a bit more out of him.
Diggs gave the recorder a broad wink.
Aye, but first allow me to jolly well scare the blighter a bit more. Then you can come in, all blinking kind and gentle, eh? What?
Diggs dived at the ferret, hauling him up once again and bellowing aggressively.
So then, you mouldy rotter! You were fibbing when you said you'd told me every blooming thing! Ha! And I was trying to be nice to you. Right, that's it. No more good old Uncle Diggs for you, me laddo. Come here!
Even though he was tubby, Diggs was a hare of some strength. With a grunt, he swung Gripchen over his head and held him above the battlements.
One thing a chap can't abide, and that's a fibber. So it's over the wall for you, mudface. You're free to go. It's a bit of a way down from the top of these flipping walls. Ha! Your pals will probably need three sacks and a spade to shovel you up and carry off. What?
The vermin screeched despairingly.
No! No! Mercy, sir, I beg you. Oh, help!
That was when Granville interceded. He pulled Diggs back, managing to take possession of the prisoner.
Mr. Diggs, sir, there's no need for all this violence. I'm sure this creature would sooner talk to me, right?
The ferret began kissing Granville's footpaws.
Right, sir, you're right. I'll talk to you fair and square, honest I will, sir. Just keep that fat rabbit off me.
Diggs was about to fetch him a good clout for his insolence when the old recorder held up a calming paw.
Please, friends, go away. Let me take charge of this beast.
Buckler nodded.
He's right, mate. Let's go and take tea in the gatehouse. Just shout if you need us, Granville.
The recorder smiled meekly.
Thank you so much.
They went off down the wall steps, with Diggs chunnering indignantly.
Blooming nerve of the blighter. Fat rabbit, is it? What? One more word out of that scoundrel and I'll fat rabbit him. Squashed ferret, that's what he'll jolly well be. I say, you chaps, if we're having tea, I'll just nip off to the blinking kitchens and see if I can't conjure up a few scones or a spot of pie crust.
This ends Disc 4.